Let me welcome you affectionately to this episode Above the Clouds. Today we will discuss how to find one's authentic voice in bhakti. Let us look at a verse from the Bhagavatam. The devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constant hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. By rendering devotional service in transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here we are advised to gradually increase the culture of devotional service, that is, the constant hearing of transcendental qualities of Krishna. And this, we are assured, would help us to become fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this modern times, we deal with a problem: the unnaturally distorted modern person. What's that? It's a person who lives his life based on two basic assumptions. The first assumption: when I fulfill the expectation of others, then only will I be accepted. And the second assumption: only when I'm accepted and validated by others will I be happy. With such a mindset, it is very, very easily possible to lose one's own self. I once heard of an older devotee who stood before the mirror and remarked, "I do not know the person any longer who looks at me from the mirror." What happens when a person who lives an outward life where his only value is, am I liked? Am I accepted? Do I get medallions, likes on my Facebook, am I loved by others? What happens to such a person when he comes to a spiritual movement? Well, first he will find out the expectations, and then he will fulfill them. At least outwardly, he will give the appearance. He will take on many responsibilities. He will take to the same dress code. He will cut his hair or have his hair in a certain shape. He will try, in short, to fulfill all the expectations. Now we all know that this might not change the heart. And without the change of heart, without developing a strong inclination towards Krishna, when one only feels satisfied, when one feels the connection with him, without the change of heart, everything could become an external farce only. Instead of being purified, one has taken up more and more designations. Instead of serving Krishna, one has only served himself. And instead of becoming more self-realized, one is more and more distant from oneself. In other words, one is one of these unnaturally deformed or distorted modern persons. Such a life has absolutely no future. First of all, you cannot possibly satisfy all people. And second, if your external activities are so different from your inner reality, your desires and so on, and if you just repress what is there, the more it will be difficult to remain enlivened. You will suffer from a burnout, and one day all that facade which you have worked so hard to build up will crash. The super rocket will burn out. I'm laughing because not out of joy, but out of, it's so strange. Why do we deform ourselves like this? Krishna accepts you the way you are. You are all right. You're already loved by him because you are his part. And he sees your efforts in devotional service, and in his mind, they are very, very significant. It is described in the Bhagavad Gita how Krishna thinks. There in the fourth chapter, verse 11, Krishna gives, so to say, a natural law of spiritual life. In the degree you turn to him, you surrender to him, you make an effort towards him, in that degree he will reward and you and reveal himself to you. So, it's simple. Stay in your nature, and from that place make a plan how you can develop your spiritual attachment to Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, no, in the Bhagavatam, there is a quotation from Jiva Goswami who distinguishes between three kinds of bhakti: Aropa Siddha Bhakti, Sangha Siddha Bhakti, and Swarup Siddha Bhakti. It's in one of the purports to the 11th canto. The first type, Aropa Siddha Bhakti, means attributive bhakti. That means you do something which you really like and then offer the fruits at the end to Krishna. By imposing aropa on one's work, the desire to make an offering to Krishna, the work is also considered an act of devotion. Then there is a second, a quite similar form, Sangha Siddha Bhakti, but ultimately there is the powerful Swarup Siddha Bhakti. Activities in bhakti which are of that kind contain inherently the potency of bhakti. For example, hearing and chanting about Krishna, along with practicing the other seven limbs of devotional service, is an example of practicing Swarup Siddha Bhakti. Such Swarup Siddha Bhakti is called the primary practice of devotional service, and it gives life to the other two. Srila Sanatana Goswami makes it very clear what these potent bhakti activities are. He says, although remaining in the material world, the devotee gardener regularly sprinkles the creeper of bhakti with the water of hearing and chanting. Prabhupada purports, It is not that at a certain stage one can stop chanting and hearing and become a mature devotee. No. If one stops, one certainly falls down from devotional service. That's a very nice illustration of the power of authentic hearing and chanting. I've added the word authentic in order to make it clear. Here you don't have to deform yourself. Here you don't have to distort your interest. Find out what is your deepest interest in. Would you like to read the Gita or more the Bhagavatam or hear about Krishna's pastimes? Do something that is directly in connection with Krishna, and that has a potency. There was once a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Unfortunately, he stopped his chanting and even started to eat meat. After his death, when his dead body was brought to the crematorium, something extraordinary started. Just when the fire began to reach the dead body, he jumped off the funeral pyre, and he told everyone something he had seen. He had seen how the Yamadutas had come to bring him to Yamaraj. Yamaraj declared, well, this is a special case because he has been a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and engaged in these direct devotional services of chanting and hearing about Krishna. So then he turned directly to this disciple and said, what good did you do in your life? And immediately the disciple said to the powerful judge of what comes after us, after our life, he said, I've taken an Harinam Diksha from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In this very moment, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came into the scene, took the hand of this disciple, and took him away from the court of Yamaraj. Then he told him, start again with your chanting. My dear devotees, my dear listeners, my dear skeptics, let us summarize what we have heard so far. It is not possible to now in this bound stage understand what is our spiritual identity very clearly and in detail. But this doesn't mean that we should take on a deformed, distorted material identity. Second, you can start with the way you are now, according to your psychophysical nature, and act in seva. And this seva or devotional service refers especially to activities which you do just for Krishna, where only Krishna is in the center. In these activities, you do not just do anything you would like according to your conditioned nature, like performing some work, going on holidays or so on, but you do something with that is Krishna centered, something that you like to offer to Krishna. This Swarup Siddha Bhakti will purify the heart. It will invest spiritual Shakti in you so that it will be possible for you to go to Krishna. So find your authentic voice in Bhakti and find out the way you can relate to this very powerful spiritual gardening activities that will make the little seed of bhakti grow into a powerful plant. Do this authentically and you will see miracles. I thank you very much. I wish you all the best and see you for the next Above the Clouds.